Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox Knowledge.
Buckle up, Buttercup. It is time for a fantastic, a fabulous, a feeling fine Football Friday edition of Let's Talk right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff Byers, Scott Giese, and yes, it could be you. All you need to do is call us up at 814-954-7266 and let your voice be heard all over the world and perhaps throughout the galaxy. Friday morning.
That could be.
814-954-7266. What you got? As we kick off the three-day party weekend.
Eventually, we're going to make that moon base.
Yep. Just a matter of time.
10 years, or 5 years, whatever, till we get a moon base.
Mars, here we come.
Well, Mars is probably a couple decades down the line or something.
A couple years, maybe.
All right, Elon Musk claims 10 years. I'd love to see him do it.
Maybe more like five. Going to get on the fast track here, baby.
I don't
baby.
Know about that, but anyway. All right, now, folks, normally on a Friday, we have an open line program, open phone program. Not today.
No sorry, Bob.
Not today. Later on this hour, local Congressman Glenn Thompson will be joining us in studio. I've got a list of questions. It's the longest list of questions I think I've ever put together. All right, some softballs, some hardballs. Other kinds of sports equipment and so on. So we have a lot of questions for the congressman, and he's supposed to be joining us about 8:45, and we're going to get some answers about, you know, what happened this week, what's in this bill, what's going to happen in the future, what about SNAP benefits, what about, I don't know, air traffic controllers, what about this, that, and the other thing. All right, so we're going to get it straight from the congressman. He's going to join us here at about 8:45. So Buttercup or Peanut Buttercup or whatever, buckle your seatbelt because we're going to ask him lots and lots of stuff. All right, there we go. Nice day. Might get up to 50 today. I was going to do some yard work over the weekend, but the weekend forecast, folks, not looking that great. Probably rainy tomorrow. Then it's going to get colder again. Those snow flurry type things that fly around. That could be Sunday, maybe Monday. So I think I'm going to have to hustle up today and get my yard work in yet this afternoon before it gets dark. Today's a gorgeous day. All right, so get out and enjoy it.
This
today.
Long, arduous winter is going to continue for a few more days yet. All right, well, hopefully we'll get on the other side and get into spring by the end of next week. I'll buckle up and prepare for... Well, we got another several days of winter weather.
Yeah, you buckle up.
Long, arduous winter than it's been.
Come on, you're all excited for wrestling.
Excited for wrestling.
Come on.
We do have that going for
all
us.
All right, we'll have our sports segment in a little bit. Mr. Wrestling here finally gets to put on his singlet, or at least he gets to put on his headphones.
I do not want to be putting on a singlet and get any... Well, you don't want me putting on the singlet, and I don't want to be thought of as an opponent for any single person in that Penn State wrestling room these days. No thanks. I'm out!
Who's the no? Okay, the lightest weight class is what again?
125,
and that is Luke Littledale,
college
right
ranks.
That's Luke.
He would be the starter. There,
okay, yes. At 125.
And Nate
pounds.
Desmond's looking pretty darn good as well.
All right, now you're slightly larger than 125.
Just a hair. Yeah, I don't think I quite would make the 125 pound weight class.
You don't
for
think
tonight's
you could
duel.
Take him on?
Not only do I not think, I know.
Okay. I don't know. Weight advantage. I don't know, that doesn't count for anything?
Not in this case.
Okay.
Not right. For a doggone thing.
All right. Penn State's having a tough stretch. All right. They are. And we're not just talking about the football team. And, well, they're having a tough stretch. All right, we'll save that for later on. They have plenty of other headaches to deal with. I've got three. Here's headache number one. This one, I'm really starting to get angry now. All right? And I'm not being facetious. Now, if you have been listening here this week, last Friday night I was honored to be the PA announcer for the last Penn State men's soccer game at Jeffrey Field. That was the end of their season. It was a rainy night. Not that many fans showed up because the weather was, ugh, it was really bad.
Just the last game for the season, just to be clear.
Right.
They'll be back at Jeffrey Field next year. It's not the last game at
Jeffrey
Field.
Okay, smart guy. Yeah, whatever. So not many people attended Friday because the weather was bad. And so the parking lot between Jeffrey and Beaver Stadium was pretty empty. I mean, there was hardly any vehicles in there. There were no hockey games going, no home hockey games going on. There was nothing else going on.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And so the parking lot was pretty empty. So I pay my $10 for a parking space and I pull in. I just pull in and park my car, walk over to the soccer field, had a good time with the crew up in the press box, really good bunch up there. Game ended in a scoreless draw, but it was exciting. Michigan was the opponent, and Michigan's ranked 10th in the country. So scoreless draw with number 10 in the country, that's not bad. All right, that's pretty good. So the game's over. Again, yicky weather. Go out to my car. Here's a ticket on my car. A parking ticket, because apparently I didn't park appropriately. Now, again, there was one truck right next to where my car was parked, and that was pretty much it. It was, like, wide open, but somehow I didn't park my car appropriately. $10 fine.
Shame. Oh, the shame.
I mean, I just, really? Well, that's only part of the story.
Uh-oh.
Then earlier this week, I get an email from the Penn State Transportation Services, reminding me that I have a fine due.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking, okay, putting the ticket on my car wasn't enough. Now you have to send me an email reminding me about this fine. Okay. I thought, all right, this is nuts. Then I get home yesterday. I have a physical letter from the transportation services. Parking violation reminder notice. We have no record that the parking ticket noted below has been paid.
Oh, no.
This is the second time they reach out to me. I mean, I've heard all the bad things about the parking crew at Penn State, the transportation meter maid, whatever you want to call them, all right?
Who would dare say anything bad about parking?
I would.
In this area?
This is excessive.
Oh, I've always been a big supporter of
I get a ticket.
Good parking.
Then I
people.
Get an email. Now I get a physical letter. We haven't gotten your money yet. Well, first off, if you remember, there was a holiday midweek called Veterans Day when there was no mail or anything going on and so on. Penn State parking crew, this is nuts. Okay, this is, you've gone beyond, you've crossed the line. All right, you could have stopped with the email. I got the email. I have to wonder, okay, how much did this cost?
So what if you
to
didn't
send
check
to
your
me?
Email?
Huh?
You would never know. You might have forgotten about this. They're just,
well, if
they're
I forgot about
here
it,
to help you
what
out.
Is it? After 30 days, then there is a $3 processing fee. It says, blah, 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 blah. It tells me how I can pay. Isn't that nice?
And on the 31st day, you will be thrown in the gulag.
Yeah, I was going to say, probably. That's probably what happens. They'll take me to court because on a day when the parking lot was virtually empty, somehow I didn't park my car appropriately, so somebody couldn't move their fat ass out of their vehicle and go see my license plate number. Folks, come on. All right, Penn State, again, you have enough black eyes. Why are you looking for them with ridiculous crap like this? This is nuts, all right? You need to be attracting people, not rejecting people. Hello? All right, we have this building on campus, the Susan Welch Liberal Arts Building, which just was, what, opened, what, earlier this year. This is a brand-new building. So if you follow news, you know something happened there a couple days ago. Somebody thought they heard an explosion. Well, whenever you hear that, it's like, uh-oh, you know, somebody did something. Well, as it turned out, no, that's not it. Somebody not. Actually, I bet they almost wish it was it, because apparently the building has a, I would call it a very serious structural problem. There's a crack in the wall that goes from, I guess, the first floor to the top of the building. This is a five-story building. They have this, like, inch-wide crack all the way up the side of the building. Some part of the floor dropped 2 inches. Somebody apparently was trapped in a room because they couldn't open the door because the floor moved. This building cost $125 million, and now it's empty, and I assume it's probably going to stay empty at least for the rest of the semester, which, frankly, is only another month, all right, until winter break. So this is like a headache and a half. I'm not sure. I'm not an engineer. I don't know how you fix a building. Can you fix a building? I'm not sure how you do that. But this is a serious headache for Penn State about whatever the heck happened to this brand new building. Wow. I mean, keep an eye out on this one. Hopefully they've, I'm assuming they've moved professors and classes to, I don't know, other nearby buildings or something. I assume they have the room to do that. I guess they don't have much of a choice. This is a headache and a half. Then we have this. All right. This came out yesterday. Penn State grad students, who I guess also work, voted to join a union. Oh boy. Hello. The Coalition of Graduate Employees at Penn State had a vote. Let's see. This was around, I'm doing a round number, 2,000 students, a little over 2,000 students. Folks, it was 90% in favor of joining the union.
Ooh, close vote.
No, actually. 1882 voted yes, 198 voted no.
Looks like the ayes have it.
I think you're correct, yes. This union or new group is going to be affiliated, interestingly enough, with the United Auto Workers.
There you go.
They're going to make cars? I've never quite understood that was some union stuff. There's like a big union, and there are a bunch of those. And then you have these folks, no, we want to be unionized. And they somehow get affiliated with a big union. The UAW?
They're trying to make automobiles that can only park head-in, is my understanding.
That would be helpful.
Yeah, wouldn't it?
On the Penn State campus, wouldn't it? Yeah.
We're just here to help, folks.
Now, it's interesting. I didn't realize this. According to one story, there are around 5,000 graduate student workers at Penn State. I had no idea it was that many.
I didn't either. I thought it was like 4,980. But you're saying like 5,000? I did not see that coming.
Okay, it must be wrestling season. All right, so they've tried to do this union vote before and it failed, but for some reason, this time it succeeded. And so now the university apparently is going to have to deal with 5,000 unionized graduate student workers at some point in the future. Yes. Old Main has a lot of headaches right now. Hoo-wee. The parking one they could fix really fast by telling these people to cease and desist. Anyway, all right. All right, let's see. What else do we have for Friday? Now, again, we got Congressman Thompson coming in at 8:45. I'm still a bit amazed at how some of these national media people who allegedly are smart and just in tune with everything, how often they get it wrong. I am truly amazed. Here's a story in The Atlantic. Now, again, I actually like The Atlantic.
Yeah.
They do some very good stories on all sorts of different things, but anything political, they go left every single time. There is no balance there. None. And so there's a new story in The Atlantic apparently this week. The title of the story, President for Life. And then the subtitle, Donald Trump is trying to amass the powers of a king.
That's right.
I'm thinking, oh, for God's sakes, not this again. All right. How do these people continue to misread this? All right. And I didn't read the story. I just stopped right there. I'm thinking, oh, for God's sakes, no. Not a king. The guy's a CEO. And that is not a king. That's a different scenario. We've said this 1,000 times on this show. The guy is a lifelong businessman. As president, everything he does is going to be in the vision or the realm of business, and he's the CEO. Now, sometimes that's good. Sometimes he crosses lines that in government, you tell us, like, no, you shouldn't be allowed to do that. All right, that sort of thing. But again, it's just how many of these people misread. Here's, all right, now we're going to talk about this, you know, big votes this week with the congressman when he joins us later on. Here's a quote yesterday from Cory Booker, the Democrat senator from New Jersey. Now, if you're a Democrat, you can, you know, maybe not today, because we're going to be busy with the congressman. Maybe next week you can call in. You know, is the Democrat Party cracking up? You know, is there big divisions and, you know, all that sort of stuff?
They're cracking me up.
All right. Okay. No, okay. I set you up on that one, didn't I? So here's the quote from Senator Booker. I guess this would have been either yesterday or Wednesday. I'm not sure which. The quote is, the Democrat Party needs change. It's time for a new generation of leaders to stand up to Trump.
Well, good luck getting change. Pennies have been discontinued. There's a big push to, I don't know that they're going to be able to find change anymore. I think we're all going to have to go the credit card route and the cash apps and all of this stuff. But good luck.
The cash apps?
Yeah, I don't. I'm going to resist until the final day.
Okay, I was
going to. I don't want any of that stuff.
Let me continue the quote.
All right, go ahead and continue the quote.
Nutcase. The Democrat Party needs change. It's time for a new generation of leaders to stand up to Trump. And if the Democrat Party is to deliver, new leaders must rise, stand, and fight.
Fight, fight, fight.
Yeah, who said that? Now, let me read this quote again. All right. This is from a leading Democrat senator. If you're a Democrat and you want to disagree, you know, again, today we're kind of full, but please call in. Again, the quote, the Democrat Party needs change. It's time for a new generation of leaders to stand up to Trump. And if the Democrat Party is to deliver, new leaders must rise, stand, and fight. Nowhere in that quote does it say anything about we need new ideas.
What?
We need solutions to help all Americans.
Huh?
Instead, the senator mentions Trump and fighting.
Yes.
Okay. Is anybody else bothered by this? First, I'm not surprised. These folks have real blinders on. One man's opinion. They have real blinders on. It's all about Trump. Everything is about one guy. We've got to stop him. Not, hey, let's get some solutions to help people that preferably doesn't bankrupt the country. We need solutions. We need new leaders with new ideas and new solutions. No, it's about standing up to Trump and fighting. Now, folks, I'm sorry. What good does that do? The answer is nothing. But that's how these people think. And we wonder why, in most cases, nothing gets done. It's how are these people in charge? I genuinely do not understand. Then we have Senator John Fetterman. Now, if you followed news yesterday,
oh boy.
Mr. Fetterman had a little problem. Apparently, he was out for a walk in his hometown of Braddock, which is over Pittsburgh way. And, he had that stroke a couple of years ago. He was, at least, doing a lot better. But yesterday, apparently, something happened, and he fainted. And, unfortunately, he fainted and pretty much face-planted right on the ground. Now, the good news is the senator is okay. Obviously, somebody was with him or they found him and they got him to a hospital and he's okay. Doctors say, and I'm not a doctor, he had a ventricular fibrillation flare-up. All right, I'm assuming that's something to do with the medicine he's on from, you know, his stroke. He felt lightheaded and probably got dizzy and maybe just fainted. And he fell, unfortunately, he fell face first. Ouch. Now, no pictures of the senator. Now, allegedly, he put out a comment on social media yesterday. He did. I wonder. if it could have been one of his assistants or something. His quote was, "If you thought my face looked bad before, wait until you see it now." Okay? Now, if the senator actually did do that, all right, the guy's got a sense of humor. All right, that's cool. He's still in the hospital. I really do wonder, okay, did he actually say that, or one of his assistant aides or something? Hopefully he's okay, but he's in the hospital at least for the time being until they get his situation figured out. All right. Here's something from State Senator Chris Dush, and I'm applauding. I'm ringing the bell. If you haven't noticed, there's another, like a lottery jackpot right now, which is like $1 billion with a B, billion. That's the Mega Millions drawing, is somewhere around $1 billion. Now, it's interesting. Apparently, it's roughly half the states in the union, I think I have this right, where if you win a big jackpot, like a big jackpot, you can stay anonymous. In other words, they don't have to tell everybody, well, the winner of the $1 billion is Jeff Byers. Oh!
Thank you. And then thank you very much. And then I accept.
And then the whole world knows.
Hello, world.
Personally, I wouldn't like that. Pennsylvania is one of those states that tells everybody, here's who the big winner was, if it was a Pennsylvanian, of course. Apparently, there is now legislation, Senate Bill 73, down in Harrisburg, that would keep the names, addresses, and other personal information of those winners confidential unless the person would choose to make it public. And I wouldn't do that. Yeesh. Now, if this passes, all right, now this has been approved by the Senate. This is any prize, this is lottery, any lottery prize over $100,000. If you, they would give you the decision, do you not want to let anybody know? And I'm thinking 99.9% of people would like, no, can you just give me the money and we'll move on, okay? So this obviously has to go to the House. Now we'll see what happens in the House. For me, this is a no-brainer. Come on, this is a slam dunk. Just approve it and make it a law. Apparently, if this does pass, the Pennsylvania Lottery still would have to announce, okay, there was a winner in Center County from State College, but then that's where they would stop. They wouldn't give a name, God forbid, address? Do they give out the people's addresses? Yeah, here's the $1 million winner, Jeff Byers, from whatever street you live on in Ferguson Township. What? That's insane. All right. So I'm hoping, Senator and House members, that this thing passes. All right. This should have passed a long time ago. All right. Folks like that who happen to win a big lottery jackpot do not need the harassment of sudden cousins that they had no idea that they even, where'd you come from? Oh, I'm your second cousin once removed. Hey, you got any money? No, please stop. Just stop right there. Senate Bill 73. We're going to follow the House version of that. Come on, just pass the doggone thing. Get it over with. All right, let's take a break here. We're going to come back. Yes, we have a busy sports weekend, including wrestling.
What?
Oh, wow. I can see the twinkle in my friend's eye right here.
True, he can't wait.
And then Congressman Glenn Thompson going to join us here in about 25 minutes. Lots of questions for him. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox. The Fox.
Is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend. Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox.
Fox Sports. You know, a hotel's just a hotel. But a house is a home.
Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines. The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails. Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Let's talk here on a Feeling Fine Football Friday edition as we kick off the three-day party weekend, and we do it the only way we know how, and that is in style. As we take a check of sports ahead of the weekend, boy, it is going to be a fun little weekend, I do believe. Let's start with Penn State football. It's been a tough season to this point, but, ladies and gentlemen, a season can be salvaged tomorrow as the highly coveted Land Grant Trophy will be on the line when Penn State visits Michigan State. Both teams are 0-6, but you can throw those records away. In fact, please, throw those records away. When college football's greatest monstrosity of a trophy is on the line. The Nittany Lions will be looking to snap a six-game losing streak in the 3:30 kickoff on CBS. Will they be able to hoist? They'll need like five or six players to do it. Yeah. Will they be able to hoist the LGT at the end of tomorrow's game? An entire nation, dare I say a globe, awaits the result.
Okay.
Huge opportunity for the Penn State hockey team this weekend as well. The fifth-ranked Nittany Lions will host second-ranked Michigan
Now, nothing as big as the Land Grant Trophy on the line, but, you know, some early season bragging rights in the conference. Games with the Nittany Lions and Wolverines at 7 o'clock tonight and 6 o'clock tomorrow night at Pegula Ice Arena. That's the home of the Nittany Lions, yes. Don't you know? Penn State, 9-3 on the season, 2-2 in the Big Ten. The Wolverines are 10-2 overall, 3-1 in conference games. Penn State has teammates J.J. Weebush and Charlie Serrato tied for third right now nationally and tied for the Big Ten lead heading into the weekend in points with 18 each through the first 12 games of the campaign. Penn State's Gavin McKenna. Have you heard of this fellow?
Yeah, I have.
He's tied with Maine's Justin Poirier for most points by a freshman so far this season with 14. Penn State wrestling team gearing up for its season opener tonight at the Bryce Jordan Center. The Nittany Lions are ranked numero uno, that's Spanish for number one,
yes,
in the preseason polls, and Penn State is seeking a fifth consecutive national championship and their 13th in the last 15 NCAA tournaments. Now, that tournament won't be until March, so they can't do anything about that right now.
Oh.
But the dual season, again, gets underway tonight against Oklahoma, which is ranked 22nd in the preseason Intermat rankings. Penn State freshman P.J. Duke will wrestle 7th-ranked Rafael Hippolito at 157 pounds tonight, and redshirt freshman Connor Mirasola at 197 will face 8th-ranked D.J. Parker in a couple of the highlighted matches that are expected to be competitive tonight. At the BJC, the Nittany Lions and Sooners will get underway at 6 p.m. Note the earlier than usual start time, 6 o'clock tonight. That match will be televised on the Big Ten Network and will air at GoPSUSports.com for those interested in listening to some knucklehead ramble on the radio broadcast.
Yes.
Belfont football getting ready for a home game in the PIAA State Championships tonight. The 6-6 Red Raiders will take on undefeated Shamokin in a 7 o'clock kickoff at Rogers Stadium. They are 12-0 is Shamokin.
I know Shamokin.
The winner of tonight's game will advance to the Quad A quarterfinals next weekend. State college football team also in PIAA 6A playoff action. Little Lions will have a first-round matchup with Wilkes-Barre tomorrow afternoon. That game will kick off at 1 p.m. tomorrow at Milton High School. Little Lions are 9-2 on the season. The Wolfpack come in at 8-4 on the year. The winner of tomorrow's game will advance to the quarterfinals against the winner of a game tomorrow evening between Pittsburgh Central Catholic and North Allegheny at Pine Richland High School. Couple of other games of note. Hollidaysburg, undefeated on the season, will play a 5A first-round game against Delaware Valley at Danville High School. Kickoff will be at 7 o'clock tonight. Also, undefeated Bishop McCourt will face Richland in the opening round of the AA playoffs tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at Mansion Park in Altoona. And in the single-A tournament, Bishop Guilfoyle and Juniata Valley will square off in a 7 o'clock kick tonight at Mansion Park in Altoona. The Nittany Lion basketball team will play LaSalle at Xfinity Mobile Arena in Philadelphia tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. The Nittany Lions are off to a 3-0 start under third-year head coach Mike Rhodes. The Explorers are 2-1 on the young season. The Penn State women's soccer team opens up NCAA tournament play tomorrow. The Nittany Lions will host Army West Point in a first-round game at Jeffrey Field. Kickoff will be at 5 p.m. tomorrow. Penn State is 9-7-3 on the season, while the Black Knights come in at 14-5-2. The 24th-ranked Penn State women's volleyball team is on the road to play 20th-ranked Minnesota tonight in an 8 o'clock match. Penn State is 14-10 on the season, 8-6 in the Big Ten. Minnesota 17-8 overall, 7-7 in conference matches. Penn State will also return home and host Ohio State Sunday in a noon match at Rec Hall. The 6th-ranked, undefeated Penn State women's hockey team will host Syracuse today and tomorrow at Pagula Ice Arena. The Nittany Lions are 12-0, 8-0 in the AHA. Syracuse comes in at 6-7 overall, 4-2 in AHA games. Face off at 2 o'clock this afternoon and then at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. The Lady Lion basketball team is off to a 3-0 start. Penn State will follow the men into Philadelphia. They will be in action Sunday at St. Joseph's. That game will tip off at 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon in the City of Brotherly Love. Just a little nickname I've come up with for Philadelphia.
Yeah, a lot of brotherly love. In
See if that catches on. The Penn State cross-country teams will be competing today in the NCAA Mid-Atlantic Regional at Lehigh University. Because when you think Mid-Atlantic, you think Lehigh, don't you? The women's race gets underway at 12 noon, with the men's race to follow at 1 p.m. The Penn State women's team is ranked 10th in the country, 2nd in the Mid-Atlantic region. That in the latest coaches poll. The Penn State men were 8th at the Big Ten Championships, while the women had a runner-up finish at the conference championships. Penn State men's volleyball will have a couple of exhibition matches at Rec Hall tomorrow. The D.C. Dynasty and the St. Louis Stallions will be in for a visit. Competition will get underway at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Penn State goalie Jonathan Evans has been named to the Big Ten Men's Soccer All-Freshman Team for 2025. Nittany Lions' Van Danielson earning the conference's Sportsmanship Award for Penn State. Thursday night football action last night. The Patriots beat the Jets. How did they do it? 27-14. New England improves to 9-2 on the season, while the Jets fall to 2-8. Oh, I see how they did it. Jets are bad.
Yeah, okay.
They're good.
I was going to say, just cut,
now
to,
I see.
Cut to the chase.
All Pittsburgh right. Steelers will host the Cincinnati Bengals Sunday at 1 p.m. The Bengals won in Cincinnati in the first meeting between the two this season a month ago. It'll actually be exactly a month ago on Sunday. Steelers still have a one-game lead over the Ravens in the AFC North heading into the weekend. The Ravens will play the Browns Sunday, but Baltimore quarterback Lamar Jackson is dealing with a sore knee, although he did practice yesterday and is expected to go on Sunday. Philadelphia Eagles will host the Detroit Lions on Sunday Night Football. The Birds are 7-2. Detroit is 6-3. We will have Sunday night's game for you right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Back to college football. Big Ten action this weekend includes Oregon hosting Minnesota tonight in a 9 o'clock game on Fox. Also tomorrow, Indiana, two wins away from completing an undefeated regular season, will be at home against 3-6 Wisconsin. Michigan will visit Northwestern. A big one with Iowa at USC tomorrow afternoon. That is another 3:30 kick for the Big Ten tomorrow. Illinois will host Maryland. Washington tomorrow night will entertain Purdue. And UCLA will visit Ohio State tomorrow night. 7:30 kick. Let's go, Bruins! Well, I mean,
good luck with that. Okay.
You can dream. Just want to dream for
a
moment.
You keep dreaming, buddy.
Let it happen.
Sorry.
Also tonight in college football, Clemson will be at Louisville. And then tomorrow, some other games of note. Notre Dame will be at Pitt. I think I'm actually rooting for Pitt.
Oh,
what?
Seriously?
South Carolina will be at Texas A&M. South Florida visits Navy. Arizona will be at Cincinnati. In the SEC, Oklahoma is at Alabama. Central Florida will visit Texas Tech tomorrow afternoon. Miami is home with NC State. Bill O'Brien will lead Boston College in a home game with Georgia Tech. Virginia will be at Duke. Florida is at Ole Miss. Utah will be at Baylor. And tomorrow night, couple of interesting games. Texas at Georgia in the SEC, 7:30 kick there. And then BYU will be home late tomorrow night against TCU. That'll be a 10:15 Eastern time kickoff. Also, the Pittsburgh Penguins will play a pair of games in Stockholm, Sweden. That's why they have the weird face-off times. Stockholm, Sweden this weekend. The games will be at 2 p.m. this afternoon and at 9 a.m. Sunday. The Penguins currently third in the Metropolitan Division, while the Predators are last in the Central Division. Take advantage, Pittsburgh. Chance to get two big wins over in Sweden. And I think they still count in the standings here in America. That's my understanding. Have it on good authority.
Have they done this before in Sweden?
Well, not this year.
Well,
no, they have not. The Penguins have it.
I'm not familiar with this. All right.
Flyers will be at St. Louis tonight. 8 o'clock start there, and then they will visit the Dallas Stars tomorrow night at 8 o'clock as well. The Flyers currently sixth in the Metropolitan Division. 76ers will be at the Detroit Pistons tonight as the group stage play begins in the NBA Cup Challenge. How terribly exciting. Tip-off at 7:30. Major League Baseball news, the Dodgers' Shohei Ohtani, the unanimous selection for the National League Most Valuable Player.
Oh, yeah.
The Phillies' Kyle Schwarber finished second in the voting. Ohtani is now a four-time MVP winner, and he has won three straight. The only other player to win three straight MVP awards is some fellow by the name of Barry Bonds. He won seven overall, Ohtani's four MVP awards, the second most ever behind only Bonds. In the American League, the New York Yankees' Aaron Judge won the MVP honor over Seattle Mariners catcher Cal Raleigh.
No.
Oh.
No.
Well, no, he did. I have it right here. It's being reported by all of the media outlets.
It should have been Raleigh. Come on, MVP, Raleigh.
MVP.
Not Judge.
MVP.
Sorry. No, should have been Raleigh.
Should have been Skeens. Pirates could never have finished last without Skeens. Oh, wait a second.
Move on.
14 people charged for their roles in a multi-million dollar illegal sports betting ring that involved college athletes. Are you noticing how we're having a lot of these kinds of stories?
Mm-hmm.
They had links to organized crime. This according to New Jersey authorities who made the announcement yesterday. According to the authorities, Joseph Little Joe Pena, or is it Perna? Oh, it's Perna. I missed the R. Joseph Little Joe Perna. Didn't mean to besmirch Joe Little Joe Pena.
Okay.
A member of the Lucchese crime family and his associates ran a nationwide network of bookmakers who used offshore websites to facilitate about $2 million in bets between 2022 and 2024. The NCAA is aware of the charges and is looking into the case. According to a spokesperson.
I feel so much better.
Yeah. Congratulations, NCAA. Welcome to the party. The 14 people charged all have first appearances coming up next Thursday, and any detention hearing will be scheduled later, this according to the director of New Jersey's Division of Criminal Justice, Teresa
Big Teresa Hilton. I'm making up.
No,
Big
you're
Teresa.
Making that up.
Just Teresa Hilton. And that is a little something we like to call sports.
Big Teresa. Big Teresa.
I may have gotten carried away.
Can we get a picture of her on the computer? I want to see if she's like big.
I don't think she's big.
No, probably not. All right. Folks, I'm telling you, this online betting stuff, beware. All right. It's red hot, super popular, not with everybody, with some people. Yeah, do you really know where your money's going? I mean, do you really know? There's that. And then social media again, folks. Don't believe necessarily everything you see on social media. Just don't. Some wag yesterday.
Oh, those wags.
I won't name the wag. All right. Puts up a post. Inside sources tell this alleged media outlet. Uh-huh. Inside sources say Eli Drinkwitz has informed his team he will be leaving Missouri to take the Penn State job.
Adios, Mizzou.
Now, when I saw that yesterday, I believed it for like a half a second. And then I thought...
you remembered... Yeah. Wait a second.
Yeah.
The Lou Holtz announcement is coming at any moment. This can't be
Lou
true.
Lou Holtz. Yeah, okay. Actually, I didn't think about Lou Holtz.
What?
I'm sorry. I didn't. I thought, all right, let's see if this is legit. So I started doing some web searching. I'm thinking this has got to be somewhere else out there. And nope. Couldn't find it. Now, it could turn out to be true in the long run.
It could.
But I could not find any other outlet of any kind that backed up this guy's assertion. So folks, again, social media, you got to be skeptical. You just have to be. Hockey. All right. Penn State men. Now this is interesting. The wrestling starts at 6 o'clock tonight.
That is correct.
The men's hockey game across the street starts at 7 o'clock tonight.
That is also correct.
So those parking lots around the BJC and Pagula are going to be pretty full. For God's sakes, people, make sure you park your car appropriately.
Head in parking.
Oh man, the Penn State Transportation Office is probably licking their chops
looking
for unwitting victims.
Don't think you're going to come to this town.
All right,
and park face out.
That's right.
On our campus,
don't,
buddy.
Allow
boy.
Yourself to get caught, all right, or trapped or something. Ridiculous. Quick note, the men's hockey game tomorrow night,
yeah,
they're doing their teddy bear toss, which is just a fun event. If you go to the game, you're supposed to bring a teddy bear, and at some point you toss the teddy bear when they tell you, okay, toss the teddy bear out on the ice, and then people will scoop them up. And I guess this benefits, I think, the Four Diamonds Fund. So, you know, kids that are in the hospital or something, and you give them a teddy bear, which is pretty cool.
Very cool.
Very cool. So if somebody you don't know this and you're going to the game tomorrow night, not tonight, all right, tomorrow night, bring your teddy bear. That's pretty cool.
That'll be over at Pagola tomorrow night. Tonight at the Bryce Jordan Center, they're doing Sooner tosses throughout the evening from about 6 to 7:30. You'll see a bunch of Sooners getting tossed on the mat.
Oh, that's low.
What?
That's low.
Well, no, I thought that was.
On.
I think that's the big promotion.
I
of
can't
that.
Believe you just said that.
Sooners
anyway.
On the.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break.
Oh, real quick, hoops action last night. Really good game. Purdue ends up beating Alabama 87-80. Really good win for Purdue. Bama, that game was in Alabama, and that crowd was revved up. Very good game there. Good win for still undefeated Purdue. And then Michigan State, in a battle of the Spartans, beat San Jose State 79-60.
That wasn't even close.
Well, no.
I mean, that game was over at halftime.
I mean,
I caught a little bit of that. I'm like, oh, this is ugly.
So. Yeah, but it wasn't like 20 points ugly.
Whoa. What was the final score?
79-60.
Okay, it was 19 points.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't like crazy.
Although at halftime, points. They were already up like 23 or 24.
Well, yeah.
So game
they
was,
may have called off the
game
the
was
dogs.
Over. All right,
I
let's
they
take,
took
what?
They had a little compassion for their fellow Spartans.
Oh, sure.
You don't want to make Spartans look bad if you're Michigan State.
You
think
put,
about it.
You
folks.
Put in the backup guys. Yeah, okay.
All right, let's take a break here.
Uh-oh.
Shall we?
Oh, look, he's barging in.
I love
love it.
He can't wait to get on the air, all right? Local Congressman Glenn Thompson going to join us. We got lots of questions. Are you ready? You better be ready. Okay, he's got his thumbs up. All right, we'll see. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
All right, question number one, did you bring us donuts?
We don't just talk sports, we live it. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Hi, listen, if you're considering an assisted living facility for yourself or a loved one, it's important that you choose a highly rated facility. And Celebrationville of Nittany Valley is one of those facilities. U.S. News & World Report 2025 ranked Celebrationville of Nittany Valley as the best assisted living facility. Now that's a great accolade. Celebrationville of Nittany Valley specializes in enhanced personal and memory care. Located in State College, from the moment you arrive, you'll find your or your family members' needs are met with the utmost attention and mindfulness. Nestled in a quiet, modern setting, Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley offers a warm and friendly community that's close enough to town to keep you or your family member connected, yet far enough away to provide that peaceful country feeling. For details, go to CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. That's one word, CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. Or call one of our friendly staff members for leasing and sales. Call 814-235-7675. Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley.
When winter is at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Be a part of the best event of the winter, Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with sci-fi and fantasy fans from across the region. If you're a vendor of anything looking to reach this energized audience, open space is currently available. Go to happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab for information. Reserve your space today and get ready for a weekend of action and profit. happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports, I love Pittsburgh sports, we both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
It's Let's Talk here on a Feeling Fine Football Friday edition, kicking off the three-day party weekend. Jeff and Scott with you.
All right, let's get right to it, because we got a ton of questions for local Congressman Glenn Thompson, who joins us in studio.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good to be with you.
Didn't bring the donuts, but
no, I failed to bring the donuts.
Okay, we're going to go straight to the hardball questions
not
here.
Not much. Oh well.
No donuts. Okay.
It's part of the Make America Healthy.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, GT figured he's going to start with the morning show
you
here.
Know what? I think
Let's Talk needs to get healthier.
I think donuts are healthy because that whole middle is like no calories.
You got that right. That's a great point, actually. Yeah.
Well, okay. Unless you get the cream-filled donut, then that doesn't work right. So. All right, let's get serious here. Although, let me start with a softball, all right? This was an historic week. Wednesday was an interesting day. You were there. Describe down there on Wednesday. What was the feeling? What was the energy when you finally got to do the voting and so on? What happened on Wednesday?
Well, from my perspective, it was a day of optimism because we had been in a shutdown, historic shutdown, longest in history. Thanks to Senator Schumer. I mean, they're the ones that drove it. I voted 2 months ago to keep the government open and to be able to provide the essential services that the American people expect. But it was optimism that day because it had been worked through. I was really impressed what Leader Thune in the Senate was able to bring together. It was a good plan. CR Plus is Continuing Resolution Plus is what we made reference to it. It took us to January 30th for 9 of the 12 appropriation bills. It included full funding for 3 of them through the end of the year. And one of those was agriculture. The agriculture appropriation bills, as the chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, I what was included in that was just outstanding. And so, to me, it was just a matter of waiting and optimism. I mean, I really felt like we had the votes. And at the end of the day, I was surprised with the number of my Democrat friends. Not all of them. Don Davis from North Carolina, he's on my committee. He's a Democrat, but he is a good friend. He's a great member of Congress. I think he represents his constituents well. And I wasn't shocked that he voted for this package. So it was, although I will say the best feeling of the day is when the vote count was done. And
I'm sure.
And then probably about 2 hours, hour and a half, 2 hours later, President Trump put his signature on it.
So everything that happened Wednesday, you were expecting to happen? Like, for instance, let's see, it was what? 6 Democrats peeled off and voted for this thing. Was that expected before the vote on Wednesday?
I wasn't shocked by it because it was a good package. And especially if you represent rural America, this was an outstanding package with the agriculture appropriations, the extension of the Farm Bill. I was able to put in an extension to September 30th. Now, also made it quite clear earlier in the week with the Speaker, I don't need all that time. Now, we're in the home stretch of the second part of the Farm Bill, Farm Bill 2.0. As we've talked before on your show, we passed 80% of the Farm Bill as a part of the H.R. 1, One Big Beautiful Bill that the president signed on July 4th. And so I wasn't surprised we picked up a few additional votes.
All right. Now, if I recall, 2 Republicans voted against. Now, are these 2 guys, I'm only following media. I'm only following media. The Democrats, either in the Senate, those, 7, 8 Democrats that voted to get past the filibuster, and then the 6 Democrats in the House on Wednesday that voted for. I mean, I'm seeing, nasty things headed their way and comments and so on. The 2 Republicans, are they being ostracized, essentially? Are they being, get rid of those guys?
Thomas Massie was one of them, and that wasn't a surprise. Thomas, he consistently votes no on just about everything. I will say I have his support on the Farm Bill. We've been working together he has a provision I helped him tweak, put into the Farm Bill that, really to help mom and pop meat processors, because we need more of them. And he had a really good idea. He had some problems, but he was willing to be at the table. And so I think Thomas Massey's used to taking heat. the other gentleman, Mr. Stubbe from Florida, he had some real concerns with a provision that the Senate put in. The senators had a lot of their personal information that was that was really stolen by government agencies. In terms of phone records and those kinds of things. And Senator Thune agreed to amendment that would allow, really the senators to have some due process. I happen to agree with that. Just because you're a member of Congress doesn't mean you're not an American. You don't have individual rights. And if whether it's a government or a non-government agency is preying on your private information and using it and literally spying on you, then there ought to be some recourse. Now, the recourse was being allowed to sue for a significant amount of money. And that's what Mr. Stubbe's concern was.
Okay. Now, you mentioned a little bit ago some things are getting fully funded. I think SNAP is one of those, right?
Yeah, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. In my mind, we've gone from shutdown to rebound. There are some things within the Agriculture Appropriations Subcommittee, which funds most of the things I'm responsible for as the chairman of the House Agriculture Committee. That included nutrition, which is really important, and it should be there for folks who really need it, folks who are struggling, living really at or near poverty. Now, understand that SNAP is just supplemental. Technically, a lot of people don't understand that. You're responsible to provide for yourself and then rely on your family, rely on your church, maybe community organizations. And then the final part is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. And so, yes, that is fully funded through the end of the fiscal year. And there were some other provisions within that I'm really supportive of. It directs the Secretary of Agriculture to take a hard look of how could we make it so that the food that the SNAP EBT card, the benefits can be used for, is to buy food that's made in America. That's just common sense, right? It would go, with that, because, that's, first of all, it's your best position to get fresh, fresh food, locally grown type food.
Yeah.
And so it also funded the WIC program, the Women, Infant, Children program, really important program. So it actually increased that. Someone who kind of leads the nation on dairy, it increased the amount of fluid milk that would go into the WIC program as well.
All right. Now, again, end of the year, you said, that's not December 31st. That's September.
That's September 30th. Okay. We run a budget. Federal budget is October 1st to September 30th.
All right. But is the feeling, Congressman, still that there are some people getting SNAP benefits that just shouldn't be getting them? You mentioned supplemental.
Yeah.
All right. And is that correct? B, how do you figure out who these people apparently are?
Yeah. We already addressed that problem. We did that. That was part of the provisions that with the agriculture title of H.R. 1, which is like the official title now is the Working Family Tax Cuts Bill, one big beautiful bill signed on July 4th. The agriculture title was the title I put together. It was significant, and it did provide some reforms to SNAP to make sure that there was transparency, accountability, and really that the benefits are going to the people who truly are eligible, the people that are struggling financially. Because we did have, there were some cases of abuse. A lot of it wasn't in the legislation that we were administering out of Washington. It was the execution of the SNAP program by the states. I mean, the states were really lazy on this. Their error rate, Pennsylvania's error rate, 2-3 years ago was 18% error rate. Unacceptable. Now they got it down to 11%, but I put a provision that basically said that unless you get your error rate under 5% or under, you were going to be held accountable for paying part of the costs. And, what we wanted to do was incentivize better performance. And Pennsylvania's has been down in the past. It just hasn't been down there under the past 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm not picking on Pennsylvania. The other states were the same way. So we put a lot of great accountability measures. I put that into the agriculture title, the One Big Beautiful Bill. The sad part was, though, who are the folks that have to implement that at the federal level? Oh, that would be USDA employees who, by the way, were furloughed when Senator Schumer shut the government down. And so that's another reason I was really happy and elated that we got the government back open, because we made some great changes and some improvements, well, in terms of tax policy and education policy, and but specifically, obviously, agriculture policy. But you got to have the folks, you know, to be able to execute those right to regulations and get that law implemented. And those folks are all back to work to now, and that's the good news. So we've done a lot. We've really done some great overhaul improvements to the nutrition program.
Okay, so. All right, SNAP, there's the state government and there's the federal government. Who has more jurisdiction over those benefits? The state governments?
No, federal government in terms of the program itself, but the execution, the administration, happens at the state level.
Okay.
And you know, you think about it, there's an old adage, if you're spending your own money, you're careful. If you send somebody else's money, you're not so careful. And that's what was happening with the SNAP program, because SNAP was fully funded by the federal government. And so, you know, If whoever was responsible at the state level got a little loose and they decided that they were, you know, they would make more people eligible than what should be, you know, they kind of got away with that. Now, eventually these errors catch up with the states. Now, Pennsylvania paid tens of millions of dollars in fines to the federal government, you know, because of their error rates. And so there was, and the error rates really hurt the people that were struggling, you know, from meal to meal or paycheck to paycheck. And I'll give you an example. You know, if on your EBT card it gets charged, you know, they put a certain amount of money on it every month. Well, if they put, if they underfund it, that's an obvious hurts the family that needs to use it. But believe it or not, it's even a bigger problem when they overcharge it, when they put more money in what they're eligible for. Because what happens is, in the next month, 3-6 months later, the state comes back and claws that money back. So you have a family that shows up to buy their groceries, and they use their cash and a check or maybe a debit card, hopefully not a credit card, and then they use their SNAP benefits, and they find they have zero benefits on their SNAP card. Well, that kind of disrupts their shopping pattern of what they need for nutrition. So whether it's an overpayment or an underpayment, it really hurts the people who need it most. And, you know, and I'm very proud of the fact that we put provisions, the law now, as we did with HR1, corrects that.
All right, Mr. Ironhead, I got 5,000 other questions. You go ahead.
Well, I want to go delve a little bit into the financial industry, if you will. We stopped producing pennies. There's a lot of talk about, are we just going to do away with coins? And quickly following that, are we just going to do away with cash? And I am one of those, it just makes me, nervous is not a strong enough word. Like, this, to me, is not a healthy path for us to be going down. I think it is already too easy for the government to track our whereabouts. There is some stuff, and I get it, there's going to be some people that abuse it and all of that. Doggone it, man. I ought to be able to spend my money without you, the government, the big you, knowing everything that I'm doing with my money. That is not the government's business.
Now, Jeff, I agree with you 100%. I don't want Big Brother knowing, as far as I'm concerned, it's none of their business. When in terms of what I'm purchasing and those types of things, there's no discussion on any other coins, and there's a real pushback, a strong pushback about moving to something other than a cash basis. You know, because I worked a lot on I'm kind of a leader on cryptocurrency.
Yeah, and I want to follow up with that.
And we sent a provision to the Senate already, you know, that said that we're not going to be using crypto to replace you know, to replace sort of the cash system that we have here. Now, the pennies is an interesting thing, and there's good and bad, actually. The bad is it costs like 4 to 5 cents to print one penny, and so that's why they've decided to discontinue. Yep. I guess that's kind of common sense and smart.
It is.
The bad part of it, though, is what happens to rounding off? I mean, I'm afraid for the consumer that now it's only pennies, but it's pennies over a lifetime. Do they round up, you know, the retailers or the wholesalers, and versus the actual cost, and that gives me some heartburn. But you know, and the fact that the print a penny, I think, was 4 cents more, cost 4 cents to print it, and you know, there'll still be pennies out there in the market. I imagine maybe there are people starting to hoard pennies. I'm not sure.
I am sure.
Yeah, I think they are.
That is occurring.
All right.
Quick follow up on that. Where are we at with cryptocurrency?
Yeah.
And I know you did some explaining last time you were in. I am still having trouble wrapping my head around it. I'm still reading about it. Can you maybe try again to get through dense people like me? The importance, because there is clearly something happening here. I mean, a big movement toward it. And I think primarily because it's something new and I don't understand it, it's making me nervous. But I freely acknowledge it's because I don't understand it and it's new. But can you take me through what is kind of happening here, grand scale stuff, because clearly something big is happening.
Yeah, it really started out, it really is the Wild Wild West. Folks, probably, I don't know, about 20 years ago maybe, I may have my dates wrong, this movement was started to be able to, and it goes to what you had mentioned, your concern about oversight and too much government control and monitoring. And it was a movement with cryptocurrency, really for folks who would like to be able to, to make purchases, to make investments you don't have to pay a third party, you know, whether it's a bank or a lending institution, like with a credit card, and, you know, you have control, more control. And it's not for everybody, I don't think. But for those who are interested in it, it's growing. I mean, it's got to be at least $3 trillion worth of the economy worldwide. It's important enough. I explain it, and maybe I oversimplify, but I call it, I'll just start at the beginning. You know, United States of America was at the epicenter of Internet 1.0, which was the Internet of knowledge. And then we went to the Internet of things. And so that's today. You know, you can go online, you can get a plane ticket, or you can order something or whatever. And Internet 3.0 is the Internet of value. And so there's not too many countries around the world that are not competing. They would like to displace the United States, who has been at the epicenter of this, and they want to be, you know, whether it's Great Britain or China or a lot of small Caribbean countries, quite frankly. And you compound that with the fact, though, that most people today want to do business with the United States more than any other country in the world. We may have problems, but we're still, in the words of our founder, we're not perfect, but we're perfecting. And the founders had it right. And I think that's why it's really important that the United States really at the epicenter of the Internet of value. And so we put forward legislation. My bill, it passed out of the House. It's in the Senate. The Senate just drafted their own bill. I'm trying to think what two members took the lead on that. It might have been John Bozeman, actually, and Cory Booker, two interesting opposites on this issue. And Cory Booker actually has been pretty good on it. I don't agree a lot with what the senator from New Jersey does, but this is one he's been pretty good. And evidence of that is he took most of the provisions from my Clarity Act and used that for a basis with the Senate bill that they put together.
Huh.
And, And just to give you some idea, the principles that I've used in working on this, and a lot of folks listening may wonder, why the heck is the chairman of the House Agriculture Committee working on cryptocurrency? Well, that's because when it's traded, it's a commodity. And any type of commodity trading comes under my jurisdiction. You know, originally it started out wheat and corn and soybeans or sorghum, whatever. And then it was oil and it's gold. And now it's cryptocurrency. And the Commodities Future Trading Corporation is the agency that regulates that and protects consumers and makes sure that people aren't taken advantage of. But cryptocurrency is different from those other commodities. And so we needed to put together safeguards. So my first principle in working on this is, number one, protect the consumer. Absolutely. Learned that in my 28 years in healthcare. It's in my DNA. But the second principle I used in doing this is let's foster innovation, because there will be opportunities here and things maybe we can't even envision today over the horizon where the use of cryptocurrency will be able to facilitate, be good for consumers, be good for the economy. And if we're doing that and protecting consumers, that's a really good thing. And so we do have so we have the Clarity Act. We have a separate bill that went to the that passed out of the House, went to the Senate. And that was one to make sure that crypto does not replace our currency. You know, it doesn't become a national currency. And so I'm really pleased that and that's sitting in the Senate. I suspect that that will move with whatever else goes.
All right. Let's take a break right here. We're talking with Congressman Glenn Thompson about an interesting week and other things coming up. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Lots more questions when we come right back.
Sports Radio.
Bigger and better than ever, it's the 2026 Happy Valley Comic Convention, February 28th and March 1st at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with special guest Tricia Helfer, the gorgeous Cylon from Battlestar Galactica, and Tracy Coco from Star Trek, along with actors from Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, and other Japanese series. Collectibles, discussions, artist costume contest, and much more. Get your tickets starting now at $8 at HappyValleyComicCon.com. Kids 10 and under free on Sunday. HappyValleyComicCon.com. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate happy hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox in College.
It's Let's Talk here on a Friday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. And, yeah, we're ready to officially launch the three-day party weekend.
All right. We're joined here by Congressman Glenn Thompson for a bit more. Okay, here we go. The gorilla in the room. Healthcare subsidies. Oh, for goodness sakes, I got tired. Congressman, I got tired of hearing about all this. I had a comment a few days ago that for the Democrats in D.C., this was their hill to die on. Now, you're nodding your head. Does that sound about right? They pinned everything on this.
Well, that was the talking points right up until it wasn't. And they talked about it less and less and less, and then they basically retreated from it at the end of the day. You know, we need to do some things on health care. There's no doubt about it. The cost of health care is outrageous. You know, the Affordable Care Act has really proven to be unaffordable. And how do I know that? Because during COVID, the Democrats had created these subsidies to prop it up from failing. But even the Democrats back then, when they did that during COVID, knew that they couldn't sustain it forever. And that's why the Democrats put an expiration date for those subsidies of December 31st of 2025. And so they are set to expire. You know, I think that the fact that you needed to have subsidies on something that was supposed to become increased accessibility and affordability and failed on especially on the affordability side. I think we have done some other things that failed to get recognition. The support for rural health clinics is something I've championed. I've been a leader on telemedicine, and telemedicine is a great way to get access to some of the finest doctors in the country. Mostly in your state, still working on being able to cross state lines. I did accomplish that for our military and our veterans. President Obama signed my STEP Act, which served active duty military reserve and guard, which allowed you to use a doctor anywhere in the country. And under President Trump, I did the Vets Act. That allowed our veterans to be able to do the same kind of thing. You can't treat everything with telemedicine, but you can certainly make it more accessible and I think more affordable, because when you look at how many patients a physician can treat, if it's appropriate for telemedicine, you know, you don't have to, shouldn't need to charge as much, right? Plus the travel and the discomfort for some patients to be able to come in. But those are the kinds of things, you know, but we need to build a system around recognizing that people have pre-existing conditions and they need to be able to figure out how to affordably pay for the care that they need to have, how that's paid for. I don't think it needs to be a cookie cutter, though. I mean, and that's what the Affordable Care Act did. I mean, I think it was somewhere, and I'm probably going to mess this percentage up, but it was single-digit percentage of folks who didn't have access to health care. And what the Affordable Care Act, so-called Affordable Care Act, did, it changed everybody's health care. It made it more expensive and out of reach for many at this point. And so we have to keep working on health care. I don't think the subsidy, propping up a failed system, at least propping it up any intermediate or long-term, is not smart, because that's like not treating the disease. That's masking over the symptom, you know, so I'm, you know, this is something that's always interested me. Obviously, I've been very involved in, because of, you know, I was involved in healthcare for 28 years before I decided to run for Congress.
All right. So the subsidies end December 31st. Then what happens?
Well, I'm not sure what happens on December 31st, because the Senate, I think the first step between now and then is Senator Thune has promised the Senate Democrats that there would be a vote on continuing the subsidies. If I had to guess, this is what my gut tells me, I guess. You know, it's not going to be I would be surprised if it's a straightforward vote on just continuing the subsidies. Because anybody that looks honestly at the Affordable Care Act knows that it has not made things more affordable. We've had consolidation. It has driven consolidation of hospitals and providers. You know, hospitals are struggling now. Now there are certain hospitals you go to, they charge you like a an amenity fee. They call it different things just to get in the door, which is legal. I was appalled when I found out about that and went back and researched it. And I guess back in 2000, that there was some type of legislation that allowed them to do that. I don't think it's right. It hasn't worked for the patients. It hasn't worked for the provider. And I don't think it's working for the nation. So it's time to find some. I don't think it's going to be one huge bill, is my guess. I think it's going to be things like strengthening telemedicine, doing some things, for folks who do not have insurance, taking a look at that, making that, their assistance, maybe supporting them. I would say incentivizing and employers to provide good, sound, employer-provided health insurance. I mean, that was not mandated by law. That was something employers did as a perk to be able to recruit and retain the best and the brightest. And so I it's a very complex issue, and it's going to take and there's just not one solution to it. But I think there's some good ideas out there that we have to put forward and we have to do.
All right, so the Senate's going to have a vote next month. The House going to do this, or do you wait to see what the Senate does?
Well, we're probably going to wait and see what the Senate does, because the Senate has to get 60 votes. And I will tell you, the Speaker's made no commitment to have a vote on this publicly. So I think he recognizes that this could be just masking the symptoms of failure if we do this. Now, if there's some ideas that we can put together and put forward, maybe not all at once, but begin to, just like we have already, we've already done things that have, it's addressed pre-existing conditions. We've done things on telemedicine, critical access hospitals, rural health clinics, those types of things. Maybe it'd be kind of figure out a short runway to continue to help folks. I don't know if it'd be a short runway for these subsidies, if that's an alternative, but knowing that, that as a part of that is we're going to land the plane on some other types of really common sense healthcare solutions.
All right. Now, Congressman, I have good news for you. I have the answer. I'm going to hand it to you right here. It is. Okay. How to solve health care in America. There it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if you're a regular listener, I'm going to put my lobbyist hat on. Okay. Because this has kind of hit me recently. First off, my wife and I are in that penny thing. And yes, we've been informed, next year, here's the cost. And when we picked ourselves up off the floor, I'm like, excuse me? What? So this has affected me personally and my family. Congressman, the only way this gets fixed is we need to change healthcare in this country. And we need to make it totally independent, totally transparent, get the government subsidies out of the way, full competition, total choice by consumers, like we do with pretty much any other business. You mentioned earlier that, when you go out of state, you can't do this and you can't do that. Why? All right. You mentioned the vets are okay. That's great. What about the rest of us? Yeah. Why can't the rest of us do that?
Yeah, well, I have a piece of legislation that would help on telemedicine and have the rest of us do it. Because I agree with you 100%. It needs to be, we needed more competition. We need less less consolidation, fewer monopolies. Yeah. That never works out in the end. I mean, some people claim, it's a chance when you form that you can do consolidation, you do monopolies. It's a chance. It's an opportunity to reduce your overhead costs. But in the end, we find that, no matter what you're selling, the costs wind up going up when there's less competition. And so I agree with you. Those are the kind of principles that we should start with.
So what's it going to take to get there?
Yeah.
Well, I'm asking, what's it going to take to get there?
Well, it's going to take 60 votes in the Senate and 218 votes in the House. And hopefully this whole will be a heated debate about continuing these subsidies would be a motivator, to be able to spark putting forward some ideas. There's been a lot of good work done in this area. The Republican Study Committee has put together some good ideas. Not all of them were great ideas in the past, but you know, I'm committed to trying to figure out what do we build on? Because it's let's build on the things that we've done with telemedicine, with critical access hospitals, where you come in, rural health clinics, where you pay based on your ability to pay. It's a sliding scale. They look at your income. Well, I thought, you know, I've always supported that and very successfully. We actually, during COVID was able to have them be able to utilize, telemedicine. And I have a bill now that allows them to, that would allow them, working with Jill Takuda, who represents Hawaii, one of the two members in Hawaii, you know, would allow them to continue to use telemedicine because that does increases access and bring costs down. It's, I think it's those types of innovation and technology that, that will be helpful in this going forward. I think there's a parallel effort going on with Secretary Kennedy. I mean, he has certainly put on the table about chronic, costly health conditions that people experience that are a big driver of health care. And if we can make some gains there, then that'll help with bringing down the cost of health care as well.
Why wouldn't the Democrats want all the things that you just said?
Well, I think they would if we get them to the table. And that's been my style, right? Everything I do in a bipartisan way. I bring folks to the table. Never ask them to compromise their principles and values. I think that kind of defines who we are. But I ask them to leave it at the door. And be willing to come to the table. So as we're looking at solving a problem, we can let's talk about what we can agree upon, not what we disagree upon. I've had a lot of success with that. I mean, the classic, I think, was reforming career and technical education, which honestly we know works because career and technical education schools now have waiting lists. And many of them, most one closest to us probably be Williamsport, is they're looking to build on. You know, they're actually don't want to do bricks and mortar because of the demand. And to give you an example of what happened there, we brought people to the table early, and not just the people with voting cards. We brought students and parents and employers. And at the end of the day, that bill was voted on five times between the House and the Senate. And not a single member of the House or Senate voted against that piece of legislation. And that bill, because of how we how I managed it and approached it, was my legislation. Since President Trump signed it last day of July 2018, and it was cool to be in the Oval Office with him when he did that. Now we have waiting lists, and we have we've reduced the stigma. I mean, I think that's the kind of effort we're going to need to take when it comes to health care, you know, versus there's two types of negotiations, right? There's positional bargaining. And I experienced that as a recovering school board member, right? You know, I'm right, you're wrong. And the conflict are fist to fist, you know, it's just or there's interest bargaining, where you bring people to the table and you find out what the common interests are. And that's how I got, I've been successful in telemedicine, on career and technical education, on all those agriculture and other education issues. And I think that's the approach that's going to have to happen, when it comes to healthcare. And it's an approach that works whether you've got a 100-seat majority or whether you got a 1-seat majority, I think. But it's an honest willingness to come together and have people at the table and to be able to listen to the others that are at the table as well.
All right, Mr. Ironhead.
How common is that right now in D.C., that willingness to listen? And that's a genuine question.
It's tough right now because of it's so emotional laden. I mean, there's a lot of folks who anything that President Trump's going to put a signature on is not worthy of supporting. It's worthy of opposing, despite the fact that even good, sound bipartisan ideas, but I wish more members would put the nation before the politics. But that is that's an issue I've witnessed from time to time. Obviously, I think I've done a pretty good job of in my service of because of working on on, you know, facilitating that change. A current issue that we're doing right now, and I think we've talked about this before, is restoring whole milk and flavor back in our schools. We are so close to doing that. I have a bill. It's got 108 co-sponsors, and it's nicely divided between Republicans and Democrats. And right now I'm working with a Democratic senator from, I won't say what state, but not Pennsylvania, because Senator Fetterman is on board fully with this bill. And she, you know, she put a hold. I mean, it passed unanimously out of the Senate Agriculture Committee, and she put a hold on the bill. Not Senate's kind of a strange animal where you need 60 votes, and one senator can hold up a vote on anything. And but if I'd have taken a positional bargaining perspective on that, I would have just been angry, right? I reached out, you know, and I used some of my contacts that I have, including Secretary Russell Redding, who reached out to the secretary of her state's agriculture secretary. And you know, it turns out when you do interest bargaining, you find out what it is. She was concerned with kids being labeled as disabled. If they got an exemption from whole milk because of being lactose intolerant. Well, I hate the fact that we see so many kids being labeled as disabled. I'm fully on board with that, but if I wouldn't have done interest bargaining, I would have never discovered that. And so now we're working on language that tries to take the disabled language out of the existing law, just because you can't drink a certain beverage, you know, and replace it with my recommendation. Well, let's replace it with medical necessity. And so we're not labeling anybody. But that's an example of a real life, most recent example of good interest bargaining, listening to each other. And I'm looking forward, hopefully by before the end of the year, of having a great milk toast as we've restored the most nutritious option of the most nutritious beverage for our kids. And dairy is still our biggest commodity, agriculture commodity in Pennsylvania, and they've been hurting ever since whole milk and flavor was demonized back in 2010. Our rural communities have lost feed stores and processors. Even we've lost, you know, once population leaves, you lose your pharmacies, your grocery stores, and we have a chance to reverse that curse, you know, and through dairy maybe help to strengthen many rural communities throughout the country. All from just taking the opportunity to listen to each other.
Yeah. Congressman Thompson with a milk mustache.
I have a picture like that.
That could be an interesting picture. Yeah, well, okay.
Anything to cover this face up would be okay.
I didn't want to say anything. Oh,
hey, now. That
hurt. Whoa. Oh. Let's take a break. Yeah, here we go. Congressman Glenn Thompson's our guest. One more segment. Again, I've got 2 hours worth of questions, so I'm going to have to boil it down. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Oh, more good stuff when we come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Kevin Harlan here from Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Join us all season long for primetime action on the road to the playoffs and Super Bowl 60. Each week, Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner and I will have the call of great matchups, along with Mike Golick, senior and junior, in the studio. Don't miss out on the great NFL tradition that is Monday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate happy hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines. The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails. Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's Let's Talk here on a Friday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. Congressman G.T. Thompson, Glenn Thompson joining us in studio this morning. G.T., I wanted to talk a little bit, just the listening thing, and I've been trying to do better at listening. And I do think there are some legitimate concerns, and I'm just wondering your perspective on, and it feels like we just do this with almost everything in our society. In college sports, we've talked a lot about, you know, we went from kids couldn't transfer without penalty of sitting out a year, you couldn't accept the cream cheese on your bagel to a recruiting visit, to now you can get millions of dollars and you can go anywhere you want from month to month. It's like, well, maybe somewhere in between there is where we should have settled. The two things that I want to bring up, because I'm a big fan, generally speaking, of the goals of DOGE, and I think that that was important. I also do wonder if, at least in some cases, we went too far, we weren't specific enough. Like, I know people that work in different industries, including my wife with mental health care, and it's like, ooh, why are we cutting that? Like, that doesn't make sense. And again, it feels like we went from, yeah, just give the money and, you know, they'll figure it out. And it's like, well, no, that's not good. But also, let's just cut everything. And I'm overstating it, I realize. But
no, I don't think
some of this stuff, is vitally important. And by the way, I think some of it, we could work out other ways to fund it. I don't think, but we haven't done that. It wasn't like, all right, we'll fund this, but we got to figure this out. It was, nope, it's stopped. And then we've been backtracking on some things, and I get it. But in the meantime, some folks were hurt by it. I start there, just your thoughts on that.
Yeah, well, no, I think you're spot on. It was, talk about a swing, you know, from one extreme to another. Now, the swing probably paid some dividends only because it created a cost-conscious culture that we really haven't had that in government. You know, when you can dip into the pockets of American taxpayers and taxpaying families, it's like it was a bottomless pit of we just spend and spend and spend. And in all fairness, I will say with the debt, the one thing that differentiates the federal government from the state government is, in times of war, has no obligation for funding that. And it is very, very, very expensive, both in treasury and in lives. And so, and that was a big debt driver. I mean, we've been at war for a long time in the Middle East. But we have, things have kind of I describe it as a pendulum. You know, the one side was reckless spending. The other side was, in some cases, reckless cuts. And I've argued about that. I've communicated that to the White House. I've been concerned about losing certain key positions that really are important that we have a responsibility for in terms of advancement. But the pendulum has come back to the middle. At the same time, it's come back, but I think we do have this fiscal accountability culture now that we have not had. And that's probably the most important success that the whole DOGE experience had or created. Give you an example. Part of the bill was everyone that had been furloughed back to a certain time had been brought back on the job. The secretaries now have been, or the administrators have been charged with, doing a review of their programs. Is this something that government should be doing? Or is there a better way to do it? Is there other means to be able to deal with it? Or does it need to be done at all? It's amazing some of the things I think they found that, it really should not have been occurring anyways. And so those folks have been brought back but I do think we're in a new era. And I don't know if we've been in this era in the past or not. I really don't have first-hand experience in that. But at least from my time in my service, we're really in a cost-conscious, being better stewards of the taxpayer dollar. We use those, we invest those on behalf of the citizens of this country, and it should be the things that we should be doing, and we shouldn't be doing certain other things.
Along the same lines, immigration was illegal immigration was a disaster. I don't know how you could not see it that way under Joe Biden. I know there are some Democrats that don't see it that way. I just think you have your head buried in the sand. At the same time, I am supportive. We've got to get the violent criminals that are here illegally off the streets, make the streets safer, all of that. Also, I do wonder if we're going a little too far when you read about some specific instances of folks that have been here 20 years, have not caused any problems, and it's like, yeah, but in the process of finding this, I know they're saying they're targeting the violent people. Let's maybe just go after them first, and then let's figure out with some of these other people, let's get them in line with the law. But if you've been here 20 years, and you've been paying your taxes, and you're raising kids here, come on. We do have other priorities, my opinion, that we need to be focused on.
Yes, I think there are some folks who are getting caught up in this that probably shouldn't be caught up in, at least at this point. The fact is, if you came here illegally, you did break the law. But at the same time, we need to look at the needs of the nation. It'd be great to think that we really don't need anyone to come from anywhere else in the world, to be able to fulfill our workforce needs, that we can do it all with U.S. citizens. But the fact is, we can't.
Yeah.
If we totally shut out bringing individuals from providing a pathway for folks to come here, not for citizenship, but to be able to work in the agriculture industry, we would be facing food insecurity and national insecurity. It would ruin our economy because agriculture is a huge part of our economy. I was always told every time I've raised, because I've brought proposals up in the past that, like the students graduating, foreign group students, we subsidize every education at Penn State, even though they may pay big tuition. There's still government dollars that subsidize that. And we have a lot of kids, young people from foreign countries come. They get a world-class education, and then we send them home to kick our butts economically. I've always argued that we ought to do a merit system. Not everybody, but if if you've got a skill set, if you've got an idea, if you've got something that you've created or invented, that we could grow jobs around, that maybe we ought to have a pathway for you to be able to stay if you choose to, and to grow that business and to create jobs for for U.S. citizens.
Yeah.
And so, but I've been always told in the past, and that's something I've worked on in the past. And by the way, I wouldn't let government dictate, do the judging. I would go to the Chamber of Commerce. I would go for the Workforce Investment Board. The people would actually know what the needs are. I'd take the government out of that part of it.
Amen.
And so we, but I've always been told, no matter what I've worked on in the past, that, oh, we just can't do that because the border's not closed. Well, I've got news for you. Border's closed today.
Yeah.
And so that excuse is off the table, and I think that's generally recognized. I've had that discussion with a good friend of mine from Ohio, Jim Jordan, another fellow wrestler.
Yep.
And he's ready, I think, and prepared to start entertaining ideas because it would have to go through judiciary. I've been working on a piece of legislation. I think we maybe, I think we would be introducing it by now, but unfortunately the last, it had to do with providing certainty for agricultural workforce using one of the visa programs, taking some of the bureaucracy out of it. No pathway to citizenship, but something that would just work better, work smoother. I mean, if you're a U.S. citizen and you don't have a job and you want a job, I could probably get you one today working on in either production or processing when it comes to agriculture. But a lot of industries we could find jobs today. This legislation would probably be introduced by now if Senator Schumer hadn't shut the government down. Because when he did, we were at a point where we needed technical assistance from the Department of Labor. And those folks were all furloughed. Now, the basis for that and why I'm somewhat optimistic, I had a 16-member, 8 Republicans, 8 Democrats, that put together these ideas last Congress. And one of those members is now the Secretary of Labor, Lori Chavez-Dramer. She was a part of the task force that I had appointed. She's a good friend. And so I think what we're doing could really serve as a template for maybe other industries. This is going to be specifically focused on agriculture production and processing.
The other thing I just wanted to bring up and get your thoughts on, because I'm struggling on what the solution is, so I don't think this is an easy answer one. But every time we get like a mass shooting or something horrific, and it is somebody that is clearly mentally unstable, which is pretty much every one of those cases, it's like, man, we've got to do something about mental health. And Democrats will also throw in the gun issue, but on the mental health side of it, there's a lot of folks that are in favor of the red flag laws. And if I felt confident that they would be consistently applied effectively, I might kind of be in support of that. But it's just too easy for somebody who is in a feud with somebody else, and I know he likes to hunt, I'm going to show him, and you call up the local officials, and I heard this guy's think, and there's nothing to it, but until they get to the bottom of that, there he is without his guns during hunting season, and or something along those lines. Just a very broad question. From a government standpoint, again, make America healthy again, I'm supportive of that. But the mental health has to be a big component of that. And when you see the impact that social media is having, I think the concerns with AI, which is another whole discussion we can have moving forward, we are losing a lot of young, literally losing them, because of the morass that they're finding themselves in. Again, open-ended question, because I don't think it's, Jeff, this is what we need to do, and then the problem's solved. And I understand that. Your thoughts on what can be done from a governmental standpoint to at least try to help curb some of the issues we're having?
Well, mental health issues have always been among the most significant and most challenging, right? Because for many with mental health issues, and I both worked in and managed acute psychiatric services as a part of my healthcare career for a number of years. And they're the most chronic and reoccurring.
Yeah.
Even to the point where insurance coverage normally had it was idiotic. It had a limit on the number of visits you could have despite being a lifetime disability that you need to live with. I think we always think reactive, and I think you're right. There's no one answer, but I'd like to be proactive. One of the things I'd like to see us do, and we've talked about, we talk about this a lot, we just haven't figured out the final form, I think, or the form to move. And that really is to, you know, a place where we can influence all of our young people, and that's really through our school system. How do we equip our schools to be, to deal reactively when somebody has some type of incident, something, whether it's no matter how dangerous it is to themselves or someone else, I think we need to do a better job of equipping our schools, but just not for reactive. We need to figure out, how are we proactive? How are we teaching how to maintain mental health? You know, those are sometimes it's coping skills. Sometimes it's just, common sense courtesy of how we treat each other. But Jeff, I think you're right. It's tough because of, the cyberbullying, and now with AI, the stuff that you can make things that help people, things that people look and what they're doing. It's only gotten more and more difficult. But I do think we need to approach it from two perspectives. One is equipping to deal with it reactive, but the other one, really, most importantly, they will pay, I think, huge dividends over time on a more courteous, a safer society, and that's being proactive.
Congressman, we're out of time. We got to take our last break here, but as always, we appreciate you coming in. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks so much, guys.
Always good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
And wrestling season's beginning, so life will be good again.
Amen.
Not only is the government open, wrestling season's underway.
Gosh, I'm surrounded by lugheads here.
Take it to the mat. We'll work it out.
Take a quick break, and we'll wrap things up when we come right back.
We don't just talk sports, we live it. Sports Radio 98.7,
The Fox.
Hi, listen, if you're considering an assisted living facility for yourself or a loved one, it's important that you choose a highly rated facility. And Celebrationville of Nittany Valley is one of those facilities. U.S. News & World Report 2025 ranked Celebrationville of Nittany Valley as the best assisted living facility. Now, that's a great accolade. Celebrationville of Nittany Valley specializes in enhanced personal and memory care. Located in State College, from the moment you arrive, you'll find your or your family members' needs are met with the utmost attention and mindfulness. Nestled in a quiet, modern setting, Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley offers a warm and friendly community that's close enough to town to keep you or your family member connected, yet far enough away to provide that peaceful country feeling. For details, go to CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. That's one word, CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. Or call one of our friendly staff members for leasing and sales. Call 814-235-7675. Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports, I love Pittsburgh sports, we both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Be a part of the best event of the winter, Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with sci-fi and fantasy fans from across the region. If you're a vendor of anything looking to reach this energized audience, open space is currently available. Go to happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab for information. Reserve your space today and get ready for a weekend of action and profit. happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center.
Get up and get going with the Happy Valley 98.7 The Fox.
And about a minute remaining on our Friday edition of Let's Talk here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox, a three-day party weekend officially underway. And what better way to celebrate the three-day party weekend than these three things, which today is National Days of. I know. I ended the sentence in a
purpose. Bad English.
But awful. Yeah. Awful by me. But the point is, today is National Family PJ Day. Go get your family pajamas out.
The heck is
and
that?
Enjoy the afternoon. And very importantly, it is National Spicy Guacamole Day. Ooh. Important to get the spicy guacamole, my favorite kind of guac. And the Mad Turtle is thrilled because it's National Pickle Day, and he loves his pickles. Folks, have a great weekend.
Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox. Fox Sports.